Thank you, Cheryl. Good morning, Westview. Bon matin. So for those who doesn't know me, who, if we haven't met, I'm Jeff Tim, the youth, kids, youth, next generation pastor, if you want. And I identify myself as a French speaker. And I'm really glad to be with you this morning and share the gospel. And so the whole year, the church, we have been in the book of Acts. And today it's the end of Acts. So we're in the last chapter, Acts 28. And for those who don't know, over the past few weeks, we have seen that Paul was falsely accused by his own community. So he was accused, he has been arrested, and he said, you know what? Yes, I'm a Jewish, I'm a part of a Jewish community, but also I got the Roman citizens. So I want to plead my cause before Caesar. So I want to go to Rome and come before Caesar and ask him to judge what's happening, because I have been accused falsely. I didn't do anything about my community, and the thing that people was accusing me was not true. So he decided to appeal to his case to Caesar in Rome, and since he was a Roman citizen, as I said, so along the way, many things happened to him, including a shipwreck. So by the time we get in Act 28, more things continue to happen. But what is surprising is that Paul gives the impression he's living, like, more we go in Act 28, my perception is like, man, that guy doesn't look like someone who is a prisoner. He looks like someone who's on a trip. He went to Europe and he's just visit like different countries. So before Act 28, he survives a terrible shipwreck, you know. And another thing come out right after that, a viper bite Paul's. That's really like, yeah, it's not cool, you know. You had a shipwreck, you survived a shipwreck, and a viper like, you know, bite you. And he survived the shipwreck, right? He survived the shipwreck alongside the other passengers. And they end up on an island. The island, his name is Malta, where they are warmly welcomed by the locals. And when he get by the vipers, people were like, yeah, he's going to die. It's, you know. So when they saw that he was still alive, they were surprised. They were like, oh, man, that guy is a god. This is incredible, right? So he suffered no harms, and that was like a miracle, a sign that changed their perception of him. You know, they thought like, you know, this guy is a prisoner. You know, he has been accused by his own people. He came from Jerusalem. He's supposed to go to Rome. He's a prisoner. Like, he's nothing else than a prisoner. So when we saw the record of this story, at the beginning, like, there were a lot of suffering, and there were a lot of suffering the whole travel. But more and more, I was reading, I was like, man, that guy seems like he's living his best life, because right after that, like, you know, they end up in this island. They were warmly welcomed by the locals, and the things went well for him. He healed someone. The father of Publius, this guy was called Publius, he healed his father, and he healed other people around who were sick, and the people honored Paul and provide for the journey ahead, right? And the journey continues. 3 months later, Paul set sail again toward Rome, and when he arrived to Rome, he had a lodgment, he had an Airbnb with a bodyguard keeping the door. That's not living your best life. It's like he had a shipwreck that was really not cool. He has, you know, viper, right? But slowly, his reputation that was really bad start to get to become good. You know, like, people respect him. Man, you're cool. You survive a viper, man. You're a good person. That's nice. He start to heal people. It's like, wow, he's doing good thing for the community. And slowly, I was like, man, they got, I'm reading a story, and if I don't know the record, it's like someone who's just traveled with other people and had some, you know, bad situation, but slowly, his reputation, like, seems really cool. And he had this Airbnb where the bodyguard, you know, he stayed there for 2 years, waiting is that his cause will be presented to Caesar. So living his best life, and this is a term that we use as, I mean, a young adult, I'm not sure for the rest of, as an adult, we, you know, living your best life is basically like everything's good. You know, you travel, you got a good job, you know, you got a good relationship. It's just living your best life. You take advantage of life, of everything that we receive. That's how it looked like. The guy looked like good. But the thing is, like, the reality is that Paul went through a lot of suffering in different situations where, like, if it would be me, maybe I will want to give up. So Paul arrived to Rome, and the first thing that he did is, I want to reach the people of my community, you know? I want to reach the people of my community. I'm from the Jewish community, and the Jewish community from Rome, I want to reach them, you know, to tell them that I'm not against my community. So he take the first step. He gather them, you know, to explain them, you know, I've been accused about something I didn't do. I've been accused that I'm disrespectful. I'm not respecting the tradition that we have, the ritual that we have as a Jewish people. And he said, this is not true. This is the verse. This is the chapter 28, verse 17 to 20. I'm not sure, like, I give everything to media. Anyways, 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the custom of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and want to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jewish object, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. So Paul was like, you know, my reputation might be really bad in my community, right? So I have to take the first step and speak to them and tell them that, you know, those things are not true. But at the same time, I don't want to speak against my people. I just want to make sure that, you know, I can defend myself. You know, it really made me think about how it is, how you can suffer sometime in the midst of your community, you know, or your close people, or maybe your family. You know, I grew up in a family of seven. I'm the fourth one. And the dynamic of a large family can be very intimidating and intimidating. You know, when we brought friends home, they were a little bit shy. You know, we're seven, you know, plus my parents, nine. And they will try to find their place among us because we're a lot of personality, a lot of, you know, energy, and they try to understand what is the dynamic of this family, of this community, right? And I will say this is the same thing also when you are a member of your whole family. You try to find your identity. You try to find who you are, what's your responsibility, where you fit in, you know, among your siblings to figure out who you are. And sometimes relationship can get a little messy. I recall, like, Charlie speak about it, like, a few years ago. He talked about, like, you know, family are dysfunctional. It's like, we all have different personalities. Conflicts is something that happens in family. It's a part of it. I'm pretty sure everyone can relate to that. It's a part of, you know, human experiences. Conflict, you know? Dysfunctionality in our families. And like, unfortunately, sometimes, things are not going well for families, and sometimes things are going fixed and good. And, you know, like, there was a time where, like, the rest of my brothers and sister, we had a broken relationship with the oldest for years. For years, we had a broken relationship with the oldest. And don't get me wrong, like, we all have, like, our wrong and things that, you know, we could do better. And things get fixed with years, but I recall I was talking with my brother further, years after, and he was saying to me, Jeff, you know when we had that season, that dark season where we feel that we're not close, I felt that there were no trust in between us. I felt that I was not a part of this community. I felt that I was not a part of this family. And this is a lot of suffering because you care about your closest one. You want to feel comfortable with the one that you feel that are your people, you know? You want to trust them. You want to feel, like, safe. You want to make sure it's a safe place for you. And it didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like that when we had that kind of situation, right? And that's just me, bring me, like, to show you, like, a part of my life and my family's life. But it's just, like, to bring you of this example of Paul. Paul, who have been, like, accused by his own people, by his own community. Those people were supposed to protect him and love him, you know. Paul was in that situation where he was feeling maybe alone, suffering, right? So the trust was broken, and Paul had done nothing to deserve his suffering or imprisonment. He was abandoned by his friend, even more, his own community. So being rejected by those we trust, those with whom we feel safe, is deeply painful. It creates a feeling of helplessness. And sometimes the circle we live in make us feel that it's better to keep the chains on. It's like Paul has been put in chains because of his community. And maybe in your life, you have different kind of chains. Maybe not physical chains, but there's things in your life that you feel that you're a slave, right? But Paul saying to his people, I'm in chain, right? You see, I'm in chain, but I'm free. The reality is I'm free. This is what the scripture said. It said that, you know, I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my home people. For this reason, I have asked to see and talk with you. It is because the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. What does it mean? It means that Paul said, hey, I'm in chain. But the reality, I'm in chain because I'm free. I'm in chain is because, you know, it's the hope that we share together about Jesus, who is our Savior, that I'm in chain. But in reality, I'm free. I'm free. And it just make me think about, I got a friend who tell me something last year, and my friend, his name is Jimmy, and Jimmy is a close friend of mine. We grew up in the same church, and when we were young, Jimmy was a young adult. I was young, he was a young adult, and he was kind of the model that a lot of, I guess, parents would like to have or whatever. So he had good study. So my friend Jimmy looked like a successful man, right? So he, like, people that see him can say, you know, you're a married man, you're a father, you got good job. And when we were young, a lot of parents were giving him as an example, So basically, Jimmy studied, he had a PhD, a great job, and sometime he went to Africa to work there for years. And you will think he's fully accomplished. You know, he came back, he found a wife, he got kids, he got a nice, you know, nice home. He's really comfortable. So when people look at Jimmy, look physically, it's like, hey, man, everything look good, right? Everything look good. He's a successful man. And when I was young, as I said, at my church, a lot of people were speaking about him as an example. And last year, Jimmy shared something with me, with humility, that marked me. He said, you know, people often only see my degrees, my title, my social status. But if they look at my life journey, and they will see that I have more failures than success. If people saw like everything I went through to be who I am and what I have today, they will see more failures than success. And sometimes people see with their eyes, and what they see is success. Everything is good. Like, he did everything. He always crossed the right door to get where he is now. But Jimmy was saying, no, this is not the truth. My resume has more failure than success. So what Jimmy mean is that you have to look beyond appearances. People see the outcome, but maybe not the scars. And we need to see beyond the change, just like Paul. So, you know, at the beginning I said, like, Paul looked like someone who were living his best life, but in reality, there's a lot of things that he went through with scars. And we're saying to his people, you know, I'm here because I believe in Jesus. I'm here because Jesus is the Savior that we were looking for years. Jesus is the hope. I'm in chains physically. I look like a prisoner, but in reality, I'm a free man. Jesus gave me this freedom to love him, to follow him. He gives me this freedom to be beyond those chains that I have in my hands. This is what Paul was saying. It was like, this is the hope that we were looking for. And it's okay if I got those chains because in reality, I'm free. Right? And to come back to my friend, Jimmy gave me like the same invitation. He said, you know, don't just focus on your successes or failures. Look to Jesus, the only hope. He will be with you in grief, in loss, and also in victory. And Christ has infinite love for those who open their hearts to him. But it needs to come from a place where we want him. We want to be with him. We want a relationship with him. This is something really interesting, okay? Paul is speaking to those people, you know, he say, you know, he defend himself. And they say, okay, let's set a meeting and we'll discuss about what you have to say. So Paul say, okay, no worries, let's meet on Monday. Monday, the whole people come, you know, and they were Jewish people, you know, Jewish people, not Christian, so not believing in Jesus, but they were Jewish. You know, they say, okay, let's come, let's have a meeting, we talk about this, and we want to hear what you have to say. We didn't have any record of people saying that you are not a good person or you're not respecting our tradition. We didn't hear anything from Jerusalem. But we know that the belief that you have a lot, it's like controversial. C'est controversé. We know that what you believe is like really controversial. But we want to hear what you have to say. And it's really interesting because there was like kind of an openness. You know, what's interesting to is that with Paul, what was interesting is that those with Paul want to listen. They want to hear what is exactly that you believe. What is the thing that makes you in chain right now in Rome? So they knew his faith was controversial, but had heard nothing negative about him. And I will say that, you know, asking question, listening, seriously asking, this is not a lack of faith. That's the beginning of the journey toward truth. And this is what they said, you know, the story tells us that, you know, they sit and Paul speak for one day, he speak for hours to those people. And at the end of this, some believe and some didn't believe. And those who didn't believe start to argue in between them. They were not really, like, relate to what Paul was saying. But some believe. And it's really interesting because Paul invited them to open their heart and their mind. And I got a story to that. Last Friday, I was meeting some college friend that we didn't see for like 10 years ago. Last time we see was 10 years ago. And we had like different conversations, and we were like trying to recall what was the birthday of one another. And one of my friends bring like, you know, the astrological sign. He's like, oh, so you're a scorpion. Okay. Oh, okay, you're a Leo. Okay, you know. And I don't know anything about the astrological sign. I did, when I went in high school, read that journal in the subway, that called 24 hours journal. I was reading, you know, those things. Like, astrological sign is, how can I explain this? I will say, like, back in the days, in high school, I was reading something that called horoscope. And your horoscope was, the horoscope was how to explain your day gonna be. So if you have this sign, if you're a scorpion, today you're gonna have a good day. You will share something to someone. Someone will, I don't know, share a meal with you. So like the horoscope was there to tell you how your day will be. And the horoscope was made by the sign that you receive. The sign that you receive was made by your birthday. So if I'm in November, beginning of November, I'm a scorpion. And if you're at the end of November, you are Sagittarius, something like this, right? But I didn't know anything about it. So I asked, like, what is a scorpion is? What are scorpion like? And they said, oof, scorpion, oof. Ish, you're controlling. And I was surprised. I was like, I don't believe in that, but it was like, oh, okay, you know. It was just interesting. You try to, like, open yourself and understand, like, what is the perspective and belief of other people. So, but it didn't sound like me. That's what I felt. So I joked and I said, you know, if I don't think I'm, like, controlling or authoritarian, but if you want more, like, if you want more information, call this number. And I show my wife phone. And we laughed. But you know what? After the time that we spent, I start to think about those things, you know? And the next day, we wake up, Mikael and I, yesterday, and I asked Mikael, I am controlling? Am I controlling? And she laughed and said, no, what do you ask? Why do you ask? And even though I don't believe in strongly those kind of comments, but they can play a doubt sometimes. And to be clear, my friends love me. We're laughing. But it showed me how belief can be shaped perceptions. What I'm trying to say is, oh, you're a scorpion? You might be like this. Oh, you're a scorpion? Oh, I'm a Leo. Like, outside don't match. I can learn about you. We can date. We cannot date. This is not something that can happen. You're a scorpion. That's who you are. I'm a Leo, right? I like that conversation, that discussion made me think that sometimes we put boxes on people and we project something on people and say, that's who you are. and we pass beside the truth about that person. You know, and this is a little bit as Paul. Paul had chains. Like, you want to defend yourself? Like, you're supposed to be judged, or like, you have been accused. You got chains, you know? And I believe that my identity has been given by Jesus, by my walk with Jesus. The fact he gave me my status. But we may realize, and this is something really, I will say, it's a tendency, or it's something a little bit popular in my generation, like to identify yourself with your astrological sign. So if you are like a lion and you got Instagram or Facebook, you might put your sign because you identify yourself to that sign. So people will know that you are a lion. So you're a liar, or, you know, you're someone profound. And the thing with my friend is, I felt, and I don't think they were judging me, but I felt that they were projecting something. So they had already the box on me. They were not see me as I am. And I want to invite Ryan to do something exercise with me, because I'm pretty sure it was really hard for Paul to explain himself, you know, with chains. The story tells us that after that day that Paul shared the gospel, some believe, you know, some believe. And here, that's Paul. Hi, Paul. How are you? You good? And Paul has his chain here in his like beautiful Airbnb, and his bodyguard, like, you know, serving, like guarding the door. But those who were listening with their heart and their mind were like, wait a minute, Paul. You're part of our community. You are part of our family. Let's take it out of this chain. We want to hear you, not why you here, like what people say about you. We want to hear you, Paul, not the bugs that people put on you. And the other side, like, I can't imagine the other people was like, wait a minute, brother, stay here, okay? You here because some people accuse you, put your chains back, stay in the cage, and now you can speak. Because that's who you are. You are a prisoner. You are nothing other than a prisoner. You're Paul, yeah, but you're Paul the prisoner. That's why you have been here in Rome. Thank you, Ryan. So now, imagine Paul, or like, you know, your reputation is damaged. When Paul preached, some welcome him, remove the chains. Others said, put them back on. He's a prisoner, you know. He judged based on his past, his appearance, his status. But Paul, like all of us, just want to be heard, believed, and accepted. This is for anyone. I don't know anyone who wants to be judged. Anyone want to be heard as the way they are, who they are. Right? But some believe and some didn't believe. And because of that, Paul mentioned and something. Paul said, this is what the scripture says, okay? Some were convinced by what he said, but others will not believe. They disagree among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestor when he said to Isaiah the prophet, go to these people and say you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For these people's hearts have become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. So, Paul here quotes another scripture in the Old Testament. He quotes Isaiah. And Isaiah was in the same situation as Paul. He was facing a hard people. And people said, Paul said, because you won't listen, God will not open his love to everyone. He will open his love to everyone. Despite rejection, God keep reaching out. He remind us, and that remind me this parable in the Bible, the parable of the banquet. If you don't know that parable, it's like this parable is someone is giving a meal, is giving like kind of a feast and invite people and say, hey, can't come. There's something for you. There's something like a big meal just for you with a lot of food. You are invited. And those people were like, oh, man, sorry, I'm busy. Sorry, I got this appointment. I cannot come. And, you know, that person could just say, you know, let's cancel this meal. Nobody can come. But instead of that, that person said, hey, let's bring other people. Let's keep that even role and let's invite other people to eat this meal with me. And this is what God did. He said to those people who were not believing and not accepting, not opening the ears of their heart and mind, they said, okay, you don't want to come, I will bring other people. I will share to other people. And that's why you and me today, we can be loved by God. We can have a relationship with him because he opened the door for us today. So his love overflow. He hasn't stopped hoping with you. God still hoping with us, working in us, calling us. And this the hand, the book of Acts end with a feeling of incompleteness. So after the story, some accept, some didn't. And Paul like shared this quote. And after this, the scripture tell us that Paul stayed in that Airbnb for quite a while, and he was free to share the gospel who people want to hear about it. And that's how the book ends. That's it. We don't know anything about, you know, let me remind you that like the goal was to come to Rome so he can come before Caesar and have like, you know, an answer. But we don't have any record of what's happening. It's like looking or watching a movie and like the movie hand with like what's happening, right? I'm a big fan of like the Star Wars series, and it's very interesting because the producer or the director, George Lucas, made six movies, okay? And he started his first movie was the fourth one, episode 4. So you're looking at 4 and you're like, whoa. What's happening, right? So the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th. And after the 6th, you're like, okay, but what's the beginning? We want to know what's the beginning, right? So you make the beginning, almost 20 years after, there's a 1, 2, 3 we came out, right? And like the opus was kind of closed. But in reality, it was like, okay, we know the beginning, we know the end, but there's a lot of story that happened in between those movies. There's a lot of things happen in between the first and the second. There's a lot of things that happen in between the third and the fourth. And because of that, they start to create like new movies, and we call that spin-off. Spin-off is like, it's a way, like spin-off is something like a story tell beside the main story that we know, right? So it created a spin-off that called Rogue One. And it's pretty cool. And the book of Acts, in a way where you're like, you know, we need to know what is the end of that. We know when we read like other books that Paul died in Rome. He finished his life in Rome. He was being persecuted and he finished his life there. So we know the beginning of that story. So we get, you know, accused by those people. He went to Jerusalem, to Rome. We know the end, you know, he get killed. But we don't know what's happening in the middle. And it feels like we want a spin-off. We want to know what's happening there, right? We want to know what's happening with Paul. And I'm pretty sure that Paul had a lot of things to tell us today about what's happening with this adventure. So we want this spin-off, and I will say it's like also as a Christian, we know the beginning of the end. We know that God created the earth. God created us. We had a relationship with us, and this relationship was broken. And he sent Jesus to save us. And we know that Jesus will come back and give us a new body. We will be glorified. We will be in his presence. But at the same time, we feel like, okay, we know the beginning. We know the end. But what about the middle? What about, what are we doing in the middle of all of this when we're in a suffering? When we are in those kind of situations as Paul, in this painful moment where we're like we want to give up. What's happening there? You know, God's saying that it will be with us every day until the end of the world. It will always be with us. And this is something that we need to keep in mind. I'm going to invite Cheryl to come up. This is something that we need to keep in mind. We know the beginning. We know the end. But in the middle, God will be always with us. No matter the adventure that we will go through, no matter what the situation we will go through, we can count on him, as Paul. So, I just want to tell you that Jesus inviting you this morning, inviting him to trust him, to count on him in whatever the circumstances, you can be confident that it will go through with you. So I'm going to let Cheryl to finish. Thank you.